carnival season leading up to Mardi Gras is steeped in tradition. Think about all the king cakes to enjoy, those purple, green, and gold cakes with the baby tucked inside. You know the one. It's also a season that draws us closer to the flavors of Louisiana. And that's when we think Creole and Cajun cooking. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're going to be getting the skinny on the ingredients in Cajun and Creole dishes this hour. Ace Champion is a chef and cooking instructor originally from Louisiana who's now based in Green Bay. He hosts a cooking show called Cook Like a Champion, and he's the author of 8 Steps to Your Perfect Meal. He specializes in Creole and Cajun food. Ace Champion, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, same to you. Happy New Year. I see everyone made it out alive.
Well, tell us about yourself. You're from Louisiana. How did you make your way to Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, being in Louisiana, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's probably one of the biggest food states out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had a passion for cooking and knew I wanted to. But being a good cook in Louisiana, is you don't really stand out. So I had some friends that I used to live with that actually migrated to Green Bay. And they found me out of the blue and they said, you should bring your Cajun Creole to Green Bay. No one's doing it. So at the time, chasing my dream, I really didn't have much to lose. So packed my kids up and made it on down to Wisconsin. Huge cultural shock, let me tell you. definitely different. I love being out here, though, because, like I said, I can stand out. And when I give people these Cajun dishes, a lot of times they're eating it for the first time, and a lot of times they never even heard of it before. So that's kind of one of the main reasons why I moved out here in the first place.
Wow, because everything you cook for them, it's they're enlightened by it. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. And they can't talk bad about it either. They never had it before. They don't know what to compare it to.
Well, you used to be a semi-professional football player. What made you decide to become a chef?
Yeah, well, I've always done both of them side by side. Kind of football was what I did after I got off work. And unfortunately, I did not make it to the NFL, which I think every young boy thinks that that's going to be his dream. So I kind of had to make a choice, you know, either continue with the football or chase my dream and my career. So I retired probably about 4 years ago when I was 36 years old and dedicated all my time to growing my business now.
How has it been doing in Green Bay? How is the Cajun and Creole taking off?
Well, I can't just do Cajun and Creole in Green Bay. That would never work. Wisconsin, period. So there's a lot of education.
But you can hope. I mean, come on, Ace.
Oh,
you can always hope.
I have to expand my horizon, should I say. I when I moved out here, I would say 60% of what I cooked was out of a deep fryer, which don't get me wrong. Wisconsin, from what I'm learning, they like deep fried foods just as much as we do. But for some reason, it's not.
Wait, what's a cheese curd? What is a cheese curd?
I know, that was... That was all due to me.
You had to get up to speed. So you know a lot, though, about Creole and Cajun cooking. Can you tell us about these cultures?
Yeah, sure. Pretty much the whole Cajun Creole thing is split up, you know, and you have your Cajuns and you have your Creole. So the Creole is more of what I specialize in. You know, I'm actually Creole, which is a blend of South African, Indian, French, and Spanish all infused in together. And the Creole people in New Orleans, our main cuisine is more closer to French cuisine than anything. And then you got the Cajuns. The Cajuns are more, I don't want to say, no, definitely not caveman-like, but these are the people that actually live in the bayou. And if
you've
ever lived in the bayou, it's pretty much you're living in the swamps. So your neighbors are the alligators and the raccoons and the snakes, and they actually take their wildlife as part of their game. So in New Orleans, you'll see us making shrimp etouffee and you know, crawfish, all these nice exotic high-end dishes. But then
how civilized of you, Ace
Champion. versus the Cajun will make a spicy version of raccoon. You know, they eat the alligator. And pretty much most of the stuff the Cajuns make is extremely spicy for the simple reason if you're growing up eating turtle and raccoon, you got to make that pretty spicy in order to tolerate. At least that's my guess. So that's the misconception that people get when I tell them, oh, I make Creole, and they say, oh, no, you make Cajun, that's too spicy. And I say, no, it's not the same. Creole is actually really not that spicy. It's just the fact if you go to New Orleans, that's what you're going to get because that's what they love so much is spicy food. But I can make you the most blandest gumbo you've ever had before. So I always tell them the spice is in the hands of the chef as far as spiciness.
Well, speaking of gumbo, give us an introduction. You know, if we want to cook up a gumbo during this carnival season leading up to Mardi Gras, what might be a good introduction for us for gumbo?
Yeah, well, see, you know, when I'm teaching and I'm trying to give people a new recipe, I always try and compare it to something that they're familiar with. So when I did my culinary research with Wisconsin cuisine, I found out there's a staple that you guys make called bouillard. If you're familiar with bouillard.
Uh-huh.
So pretty much gumbo is like a jazzed up version of bouillard. So instead of just, you know, boiling down the chicken, and the bouillard is pretty much chicken base, we add in the smoked sausage. Now, when you try and get as authentic as possible, and when I say authentic, like try and get a Cajun seasoned, read the ingredients, and find one that's actually from Louisiana. Like, don't get the, no offense, Wausau, Wisconsin, but don't get the Cajun season that was made in Wausau, because it might not be the same.
Ace you know? Champion, you're treading
know,
on thin ice there. All right, continue.
But just try and make it and get it as authentic as possible. And then the sausage, definitely use andouille sausage. And I know, and I love my Wisconsin, I know we love brats out here, but it's just not the same when you put brats in the gumbo. So I would say just andouille sausage and a good Cajun season. Slow cooking it is the key to as well. I know there's some gumbo recipes that would have you make it in an hour. You can do that, and that's if you're just getting chicken broth and using a base. But normally when we do it, we use, like, the chicken carcass or, you know, the bones from chicken thighs or something like that and boil that down real nicely and just kind of debone it and really get that rich flavor from the bones. So essentially gumbo is, I don't want to say chicken soup, but it's kind of on that version, only instead of just adding chicken, we add in. And you don't just have to add just sausage and chicken. I mean, if you have seafood, I would say the real purpose of gumbo is whatever you have left over. So, for instance, if you made pork chops the night before, I've done it with leftover baby back ribs. Literally any type of meat you have left over, that can be your filler. And then that makes things just a lot more cheaper because in Louisiana, all cooking, we're pretty much always on a budget, even though we eat seafood like crazy.
Seafood also being quite plentiful and accessible.
Yeah. We're talking $3.99 for jumbo prong shrimp.
That you can buy out of the grocery store. But at the gas station. What does andouille sausage have on what we can find up here? I mean, what's the difference between what we're cooking up here and andouille sausage?
And you can find good andouille sausage. I found Usinger's out of Milwaukee. They make a good Usinger's. I mean, they make a good andouille sausage.
Okay.
What really makes andouille sausage, one is andouille season, which is kind of a form of a kind of a Cajun spice. So that's the flavor. And then traditionally, andouille sausage is extremely meaty. So versus when you're having like the brat or even the Polish sausage, those can tend to be a little bit fattier versus the andouille sausage is a lot more leaner, which really helps out in the soup because you're cooking this for a while.
It's on the stove. We're talking right now with Ace Champion. He's a private chef and a TV cooking host originally from Louisiana. He relocated to Green Bay, Wisconsin, our neck of the woods here. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you find Creole and Cajun foods in Wisconsin? What are your favorite Creole and Cajun recipes? Do you have any recipes that you'd like to share or any questions? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Well, Ace, we've been talking a bit about gumbo. What about jambalaya? How do we approach a good jambalaya?
Yeah, and I've noticed too. I've been to a couple of places out here that have it, and that's the thing. When you're looking for a recipe, just like the spice, try and find the most authentic recipe as possible. So I tell people when they Google it, instead of just Googling jambalaya recipe, Google authentic jambalaya recipe from New Orleans, and then you'll get the more closer to home type recipes. I've seen a couple of them out here where it's more of a liquid base. I don't know if you've ever ran into that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it gets kind of sloppy over rice.
Yeah, that's not jambalaya. That's almost more equivalent to gumbo, because gumbo is more like a soup. Jambalaya is basically a rice dish. It's basically rice pilaf.
Mm-hmm.
So what they would do is they would add in the rice and almost all the same ingredients as chicken and sausage gumbo, they would add into the jambalaya, you know, your spicy sausage, your chicken. And the main thing with the Creole dish is what they call the Trinity mix. And that's the bell pepper, onion, and celery.
The Holy Trinity, yep.
The Holy Trinity, yes, ma'am, you know it. They put that in everything, you know. So then traditionally they bake it off in the oven, just like a pilaf, and then there comes your jambalaya. You know, they add in tomato juice and stuff like that. I found out a different way to make jambalaya, even from the traditional way. Because the traditional way, you add in all these beautiful peppers, but then you bake it for 45 minutes, and then when you pull out the oven, all you really see left is the sausage.
Mm-hmm,
you lose
mm-hmm,
all the color.
You lose all, right.
So what I did is I actually made the rice on the stove until it was nice and fluffy, and then I made all the other ingredients separate. I sauteed the sausage until it was perfect. I sauteed all the onions and peppers until they were perfect, and then you marry them all together. Then you can taste the crunchiness in your vegetables. The presentation is there. Totally outside the box than what they would do in traditional New Orleans, but it takes out the guessing game, because what happens is you're cooking this for 45 minutes, and everything in there cooks at a different time. The sausage can cook longer than the celery can cook longer than the bell peppers, so nothing cooks uniform. So when you cook them all separate, everything comes out perfect.
Well, something else that's out of the box is one of the recipes you shared with us, jambalaya sushi roll.
Yeah.
How did this idea formulate?
So because I'm an instructor, I always have to be inspired by the students. They're always telling me what they want to learn, and I always have to keep it fresh. So I was actually working at Cook's Corner as one of their culinary instructors, and they had a huge wall of sushi. So they said, Ace, we need you to try and teach sushi. Now, granted, when I was in college, culinary arts, they did not teach us sushi. I had never made sushi before in my life. All I've heard was that sushi is the hardest thing in the world. So I took on the challenge, ironically, by watching a bunch of YouTube videos and asking some questions and pretty much just trial and learn. I think that's the best teacher, is just to get in there and make the mistakes and then figure out what you did wrong. So when I started teaching sushi, I didn't want to be like the rest of everybody else, because I'm not a sushi master. So if I'm making the same California roll that these restaurants are making, they're going to compare it to that. And by all means, I'm not proclaiming to be a sushi master. So I had to come up with something different. And all I kept hearing from people is, I don't like sushi because it's raw fish. So everyone thought that all sushi is raw fish. So when I started studying it, it really has nothing to do with raw fish. It's basically just the vinegar flavored rice, which you can put whatever you want to put in it. It just so happens Japanese love raw fish so much, when you go to their places, that's what you get.
Huh.
So I said, well, I wonder if I could start making rolls that don't have anything to do with raw fish. So I started thinking, whatever is good with rice should be good and be able to be turned into a sushi roll. So obviously the first thing was jambalaya. So I pretty much made Cajun sticky rice the same way I made my regular rice. I just infused it with Cajun spices. I stuffed it with strips of the andouille sausage. Everything was strips. That's the key. Nothing can be chunked because it doesn't cut right. And then when I rolled that, when it came down to the mayo, I started doing my research, and spicy mayo, a lot of these restaurants, it's pretty much just sriracha and mayo, or mm-hmm. mayo and a Chinese chili paste. So that let me know that the mayo is the base, so I can infuse whatever flavor into that mayo. So I took some of my Slap Your Mama Cajun season and some of my Louisiana hot sauce and really spiced it up.
And some key lime juice and garlic juice.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Well, garlic is not prevalent in Louisiana cooking. You'll see it in a couple restaurants, but not like in Italian cooking. But I love garlic. So you'll find me putting a lot of Italian stuff in my New Orleans dishes. I would say most of the stuff I cook anyway is more on the infusion side than just one particular cuisine.
And so then you're rolling up all of this into a sushi roll. You've got your sausage in there. You've got some crab meat. And then you've got your Trinity coming through as well. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And this really is attractive to the people who say, oh, I don't like sushi because it's raw. And I say, well, how about this? And I describe them that, and they always, well, I'll eat that.
Well, now all you have to do is throw these sushi rolls in a parade, and then you're all set, right?
Oh, yeah. Get the beads, right? Oh, they'll love that.
With the start of carnival season Saturday, you may be craving some Creole or Cajun cooking leading up to Mardi Gras. How about some red beans and rice? We're learning about the holy trinity of Cajun and Creole cooking, onions, celery, and bell pepper. Chef Ace Champion is giving us the know-how to cook this cuisine at home and be successful with it. He's a private chef and TV cooking show host. He's from Louisiana, now based in Green Bay. Chef Champion's cooking show is Cook Like a Champion. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you find Creole and Cajun food in Wisconsin? What are your favorite Creole and Cajun recipes? 800-642-1234 or shoot us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Back in a moment. There are gumbo mixes, of course, that are easy to use to make Cajun gumbo in just a few steps. You add your choice of meat, serve over rice perhaps, the roux, it's done for you. But just in case you want to make it from scratch, we've called in the Louisiana Cooking Authority on this edition of The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Ace Champion is here. He's a chef and cooking instructor from Louisiana who now makes his home in Green Bay. And Ace Champion is host of the cooking show Cook Like a Champion, author of 8 Steps to Your Perfect Meal. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you do to celebrate Carnival and Mardi Gras? Have you ever gone to Louisiana to celebrate? Where do you find Creole and Cajun food in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to the phones now with Nick, who joins us from Oconto. Hi, Nick. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't eat pork, but I really like to try jambalaya. I love Cajun seasonings, but I can't find a sausage that does not contain pork that's quite right.
Right. I would say, what was the brand? I know you want to probably stick with one of a beef sausage. And I've used beef sausage before, and that works out really well. And I know I've made some jambalayas where I didn't add sausage in. I just added chicken. And I don't know if you like seafood. Do you like shrimp?
No, I don't eat shrimp either.
You don't eat shrimp? Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I know Johnsonville, they make some beef sausages. I know Hillshire Farm makes beef. So just get you a nice lean beef sausage. And then what you can do when you slice that sausage up, saute it up a little bit before you add it to your rice and just season that with the Cajun season. And that will kind of bring it close, as close to andouille as you're going to get.
Would there any way that Nick might make his own sausage? What would you recommend, Ace?
You can. You can. You can definitely just mix, you know, a little bit of beef and a little bit of fat, and then just look. You can actually Google andouille recipe. And it's pretty bulky. It's pretty big, like the Cajun recipe, too, as well. The Cajun spice, so it's probably about 9 to 10 spices to it. But you can definitely make your own. You can get the little pork casings at your local meat market, and you can pretty much just mix all your meats together, stuff it yourself, bake it in your oven until it's, you know, nice and firm, and then slice that up and put it in your jambalaya too as well.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for calling in with that question. Ace, a lot of people enjoy, I know I do, red beans and rice. How about cooking our red beans?
Yeah, red beans and rice, they're not as tricky as people think. They just take longer than what people think. Mm. And one of the tricks that we do in Louisiana is you soak the red beans for about 2 hours, and that's going to knock off about an hour of your cooking time. And then very important that you flavor the water. What's in the water is what's going to flavor the beans. So we start off with, I normally do half and half, a little bit of chicken broth and water, and then I season it with my Cajun season. Before I add in my peppers and my sausage, I let that boil down for at least an hour and a half until the beans start to get soft. Then I add in all my peppers and my almost the same thing. That's the weird thing when you look at Louisiana cooking. It's almost the same thing you would add to your jambalaya. You know, my peppers, my sausage, my onions, my celery, and you just let that cook down. And what really, really makes the gumbo, I mean the red beans and rice, a little bit more authentic is my grandma taught me that once the beans are done and they're soft, what you want to do is take you a spoon and start mashing the green beans up against the pot. And then what that's going to do is that the mashed green beans is going to actually mix in with the water and make it more of like a sauce with the beans versus just beans with rice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. That's a technique that I have never heard before. You know, you said the word sauce, and I've always been really nervous about making a roux because I know that it can go south pretty quickly. So what are some tips in making a roux?
Mainly you want to start off with, most people down south, they'll do a 50-50 ratio. I always like to do a little bit more heavier on the flour.
Okay.
So the main thing is to use a small skillet, just big enough to fit the roux in there. So which means if you're only making a half a cup of roux, you shouldn't be using a 12-inch skillet. It's too much room. It's going to burn up on you too fast. So you want to let the butter or oil, any kind of fat, get nice and warm before you add in the flour. And then that way it's going to bond and mix so much better. And then using a whisk, the main secret in the roux, which is not really a secret, is you can't go anywhere. You literally have to sit there for at least 15 minutes.
Yeah, and like no getting distracted by your phone or pulling that recipe book closer because I swear I step away for like 2 seconds and the thing is already stuck to the bottom.
Yeah, anytime you're dealing with sauces or anything delicate, like that's one of the main things I teach to people because we're naturally multitaskers and we just want to do things. But some certain things you just got to just stay grounded. And it really is 3 stages. So it starts off after, I would say, about 10 minutes. It's still going to be fairly white. They call that a white roux.
Okay.
And then the next step would be the blonde roux, sorry. I knew it was hair colors of a lady. The blonde roux, and then the last step is the brown roux. The brown roux is the more one that has the most flavor. And that's what they use for the gumbos. The white roux would be if you just want to thicken up an Alfredo or something. The whiter the roux is, the more thickening power it has. So the longer you cook that flour and that fat together, the less thickening it has, but the more flavor it has.
And how are we putting the roux to work? Where are you using roux?
I do it backwards than Louisiana. Louisiana, they always, when they make gumbo or anything like that, they start off with the roux and then they add to it. I don't like to do that because I always find myself having to alter the soup. I always have to put a little bit more water than the recipe says, you know, stuff like that. So it throws off the roux thickening power. So once I know my gumbo or whatever I'm thinking is pretty much done, then I just add spoonfuls to it. Kind of like I treat it like if you ever use cornstarch slurry, you know, you add that in at the end and you just kind of see how it thickens. I add the roux in that the same time. That way I can add in just the amount of roux that I need for my liking. Some people might like it thicker. You know.
So you're not doing a bunch of backtracking at the end. You can
right. Right.
Because that I've done also that takes time. Yeah. Because we've heard the mantra, it all starts with a roux. But you're saying that's not necessarily the case.
See, that's old school. What I did is, and traditionally old school Louisiana cooking, traditionally, you know, I know they got chefs now, but traditionally it was the grandmas and the moms, and these are all of their recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to culinary art school, they started teaching me these different techniques, and just me, you know, trying to be creative, I was like, man, I just like the jambalaya. I wonder if I should do it this way. And a lot of people aren't doing that in Louisiana because they want to stay as authentic and the way grandma used to do it 100 years. And just like sushi, you're not going to go into a Japanese sushi roll and find a jambalaya sushi roll. You know, they're going to stick to what they do. So that's pretty much my take on that.
Well, what about making roux in the oven? Is that possible?
That is possible. Everything, just remember with the roux, low and slow. If you're going to do it in the oven, have that oven on like 200 and maybe 40 degrees. Open it up and stir it every 5 minutes, and it should be able to work fairly well. You just don't want to be baking that roux at 450 degrees. It'll be done for in no time.
So do you have any tips for people who really might enjoy Cajun and Creole food when they're out on the town in a restaurant but have never tried it, making it themselves at home and want to give it a try?
You mean to make it at home?
To make it at home instead of going to a restaurant.
Right. Well, I can tell you this. It's always better, unless you're in New Orleans, I think it's always better just to make it at home, because the thing about Cajun and Creole is that's the flavors of the people. And I noticed when I moved out here in Wisconsin, the flavors of the people are a little bit different. So you kind of have to make it the way you like it, you know. And if you want to add certain things that are traditional in Wisconsin, I started adding a lot of cheese to my Cajun dishes. Not just because I'm in Wisconsin, because I put it on there. I was like, oh, man, this actually makes it better.
Wait, you can slow down. How is that working? I mean, where is this cheese going? Because that's really a different twist here.
It is. I mean, something like if you've ever had shrimp and grits,
uh-huh.
You know?
Yep.
And when, you know, traditionally you sprinkle maybe a little Parmesan if you're lucky, but mainly when you're in Louisiana, it's literally shrimp and grits. And one of my sponsors here in Wisconsin is Schulzberg Creamery, and they have all these different exotic cheeses. So actually on one of my episodes, I used this, it was called Salsa Jack. So it was like a pepper jack version of almost like a salsa, like the salsa flavor. And it was just phenomenal to die for. And I never would have thought, you know?
Okay.
Oh, wow. And
yeah.
It actually works really, really well. I do a seafood stuffed potato.
Okay.
You know, where it's basically a potato stuffed with different types of seafood in a cream sauce, and you just smother the potato with that. So I was like, in Louisiana, that's how you get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So being in Wisconsin, I'm like, come on, you can't have a potato without cheese on it, you know? So I'm experimenting with all these different cheeses that I get, and it's like, wow. So the flavors with Wisconsin really do complement Louisiana flavors extremely well, but you have to think outside the box to even create that.
I am dying to talk to you about shrimp. I want to talk shrimp etouffee, shrimp and grits, shrimp anything. How should we be cooking our shrimp with a Louisiana influence?
Well, with the shrimp, always try and get good shrimp. That's the start. You know, I know Festival Foods, a lot of the other grocery stores, that you can get Gulf shrimp. It's a little bit more pricier. And then the size of the shrimp. I always use 31 to 40 count.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I feel like I have to cut those in half, that's fine. I stay away from the super small shrimp, even though you'll see that in a lot of recipes. They cook too fast. They'll be mushed way too fast. You need something that's going to hold in that etouffee. The etouffee is almost like you're making a roux, but you're not using flour. You're actually using tomato puree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're putting your Trinity mix in there. You're putting a little bit of flour in there with your tomato puree, and you kind of cook that down. And then you add in your chicken stock or vegetable stock if you don't want the chicken stock. And then you kind of let it cook up. So it's in Louisiana, it looks like a gravy, but it's almost like it's kind of in the middle of a soup in a sauce. sauce, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the shrimp, I always found to add more flavor is to saute the shrimp separately. Saute the shrimp, give the shrimp its flavor.
In what, Ace?
In a large skillet.
Okay.
So just take a large skillet, maybe throw some butter on there or some olive oil, let that get nice and warm, and just saute your shrimps till they get that nice little sear crust on them. They're not going to be all the way cooked. They're just going to be, you're pretty much waking them up to release all of its flavors. Then add that to the pot of the etouffee, and then it's pretty much done. Etouffee can be done in like 30 minutes. Very quick.
Are you ever marinating your shrimp in any of these dishes?
No.
Okay.
No. There's never any reason to marinate anything because the dishes have so many different flavors in it, you're probably never going to tell the difference. If I just drop plain shrimp in there, and even the way I saute them to add more flavor, your average person would never be able to pick that up anyway. This is just me trying to perfect a recipe.
What are your favorite spices to use then with shrimp? What are good companions?
Old Bay is okay. Definitely a seafood. I love Old Bay. It has
staple.
A really nice balanced flavor to it. I found out a lot of these specialty stores, even like in Door County, in small places in Wisconsin, they have the seafood blends, and it's actually made to taste well over seafood. I found a lot of those were really great too as well. Because then you take away the guessing game. You get these recipes and they'll say, put a pinch of coriander in there, put a pinch of salt, a pinch of lavender, and you got all these ingredients you know nothing about. And if you don't blend them together right, it might not taste right. Versus if you just find a spice that has it all in there done for you already, it really takes out the guessing work.
Oh, sometimes.
Or a good key.
Yeah, sometimes these pre-made mixes really are your friend. They're going to help you out with these recipes.
They are. And like I said, when you're looking for them, just read them, you know, and see where they're from and just make sure they're from for the region. So if they're Cajun season, you should be trying to find one from Louisiana. Whenever I'm doing Jamaican jerk, you know, obviously I can't find authentic Jamaican, you know, cuisine out here as far as ingredients. But if I find a bottle of Jamaican jerk paste and it's from Kingston, Jamaica, I know I'm going to have a better chance of getting close to the authentic than I would if it was from Texas somewhere. You know?
You're in good company. Yes, it is New Year's Day, but that doesn't stop us from thinking about carnival season. We have a craving for some shrimp creole, some red beans and rice. King cake would do the office good. Green Bay chef and cooking instructor Ace Champion is here. He's host of the cooking show Cook Like a Champion. You can join in with your questions about cake. Cajun and Creole cooking, 800-642-1234. What recipes do you want to try? Do you want to make a gumbo? Are you looking for an entry point to making your first gumbo? 800-642-1234 or email your questions and insights to ideas@WPR.org. We'll return for more Cajun and Creole cuisine in just a moment. Stay with us. Jambalaya, a signature dish there of Creole cuisine, and you could say it's a one-skillet meal featuring cooked rice with vegetables and almost any kind of meat. We've been talking about it. Chicken and andouille sausage are common with some help in the dish from tomatoes, onions, peppers, and garlic. The supporting cast there, if you will. We're talking Creole and Cajun cooking on this New Year's Day edition of The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're getting to know a few tips that can help us cook more authentic Cajun and Creole dishes with Chef Ace Champion. He's a cooking instructor from Louisiana, now makes his home in Green Bay, where he hosts the cooking show Cook Like a Champion, author of 8 Steps to Your Perfect Meal. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. 1234. Where do you find Creole and Cajun food in Wisconsin? What are your favorite Creole and Cajun dishes? 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Pat, who joins us from Duluth. Hi, Pat.
Hi, good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We got up a little late, so I didn't hear the program from the beginning, but I'm just learning so much, and I've been so inspired by your chef. And I loved how he personalized the sushi dish that he researched. And I'm just inspired to get into the kitchen, maybe today, later today, and this week to start cooking. And the gumbo he mentioned and the beans and rice. So I'm just learning a lot, and even more, I'm getting so inspired. I love this program. It's perfect to start the new year. So I'm going to keep listening for tips, and thank you from the heart for this. Thank you, thank you.
That's awesome.
Oh, that is awesome. Pat, thanks so much for that. Well, I want to go into another recipe you shared with us, Ace. And by the way, you can find these recipes at WPR.org. Go to the morning show page, and this is where you can find these two recipes that Ace shared with us: chocolate bread pudding with Irish whiskey butterscotch cream sauce. Oh my goodness, we've got to go to the bread pudding. Yeah,
yeah. Some of my descriptions are a little long, but I want people to be able to taste them as they hear about them. So, bread pudding is probably one of the biggest staples in Louisiana. You can get it at gas stations. You can get it at restaurants. I grew up, you know, having many different versions of it. But then when I became a chef and I started trying to Google it, like authentic Louisiana, it was almost like there was only one recipe. Kind of like I said, how grandma didn't really change much. She kind of kept things the same. So what I realized with bread pudding, it's just like any other dessert. I can infuse anything into that bread pudding and pretty much change the whole name of it. So I won two awards with my original recipe was New Orleans bread pudding, which is basically French bread soaked in a nice custard with your sugars and all your different cinnamons and seasonings, and then you bake that off to it's like a soft bread. So bread pudding has nothing to really do with pudding. That's why it's kind of weird that name is in there, but it's pretty much like a soft bread. So what I did with one time is I just took, I think, about a half a cup of chocolate chips. I pureed them, you know, in my food processor till they were like a powder, and then I added some rum to that to made pretty much a quick, easy chocolate rum sauce. And then I poured that into my custard mix, which turned it from white to chocolate. And then when I soaked my bread in there, the bread absorbed all those chocolate flavors. So then you get to the whiskey cream sauce, which was the original recipe. Same concept. You're starting off with a white dessert cream sauce that I can add whatever I want to add to it. So long time before, I added a quarter cup of chocolate chips. Now I had a chocolate whiskey cream sauce. So I started to think, man, I want to do something different besides white chocolate or more chocolate on chocolate. So I remember my grandma used to give me these little butterscotch candies when I was in church when I was a little boy. And I was like, oh, butterscotch. It's like you never really hear about butterscotch anymore. It's like the for the lost candy. So what I did is the same concept. I went and bought some butterscotch chocolate chip, just a little chocolate chip morsels, nothing fancy, and then I put a quarter cup into that. Oh, my God, it totally changed the way the sauce tasted, and then when you added it with the chocolate, it was a totally different taste and complemented it so well. So that's kind of like my concept when I'm cooking. I'm always, instead of trying to recreate the wheel and, okay, let me find a different bread pudding recipe, I just say, well, what can I add to what I've created already and go from there. You can add apples to it. You can make an apple bread pudding. You can add I've done a Door County cherry bread pudding with a cherry custard cream sauce. You know, very simple by just adding in and substituting a few ingredients.
And you also bring in Madagascar vanilla bean paste.
Yes. Yeah, I came across that, and they're actually out of Chicago through Cook's Corner where I worked at. And I've always just used McCormick, and I've cheated back in the day, you know, I used to use imitation. I would never dare do it now. But I came across this Madagascar vanilla bean paste. And it is just like a paste. You use it equal portions. You can order it online. But what I love about that is when I pour it into like a cream sauce, you actually see the vanilla beans. Versus if I just pour in vanilla extract, you get the vanilla flavor, but you don't get the presentation. So I would say vanilla bean paste is equivalent to scraping out actual beans out of a vanilla bean.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good well, stuff. Let's bring in Peter in New Holstein. Hi, Peter. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Chef. Good morning. I'm really excited by all this talk of a school. I'd like to know how I could come and join in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, if you check out my website at chefchampion.com, you know, I list the cooking classes. And then also I have my show called Cook Like a Champion. I'm on probably about 9 to 10 different stations in Wisconsin. So if you Google your local provider, you should be able to find that. And I'm always teaching a lot of these recipes that I'm talking about on the website. I mean, on the actual TV show, too, as well.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, Peter, thank you so much for calling in with that. And wondering, Chef, what will be on your New Year's Day table? What are you making today?
You want me to be honest? I have been cooking. So I just shot my last episode for season 3 weeks ago, and that's just nothing but cooking. And then by me being a private chef, that's nothing but cooking. And then I have 3 kids and a wife. That's nothing but cooking. I've just been cooking and cooking and cooking. So I think I'm going to take the day off.
fair enough. Well, we also have another email from Grant who wants to know, he says the shrimp he finds around Madison has an aroma and flavor or iodine. He asks, why is this? What's going on?
Well, tell them to look at the actual origin, like where is the shrimp coming from? You know, and a lot of times when you're getting shrimp from overseas, you know, Thailand, China, you know, different places, you really don't know how they're raising those or what it's grown. So I would always say if you're going to get shrimp, just go local, get Gulf shrimp.
And when you say Gulf shrimp, you're saying Gulf of Mexico.
Mexico,
shrimp.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's where all the good shrimp and the good seafood, in my opinion, comes from.
Well, let's focus here a bit on Carnival, which is coming up. It starts Saturday, goes until Mardi Gras on February 13th. What is Carnival season and who celebrates it? What is it like in New Orleans?
Yeah, well, it's actually a Catholic holiday, believe it or not. I know you it might not appear to it when you see it on TV, but it's the mark of, I believe it's when Fat Tuesday is over, it's the ending and beginning of Lent.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much if for 2 weeks, everyone can kind of get their party on, get their drink on, eat as much as food as they want. And then Fat Tuesday, the last day, they eat way too much food. And then after that, it starts the Lent and then they can't eat nothing but the seafood. As far as the parades, they run parades through New Orleans. They run parades through the neighboring Covington areas. And if you could imagine these huge 18-wheelers that are just decked out and looks like these huge, just like you would see in New York when they have all their festivals and stuff like that. And people are actually on top of the 18-wheelers, or they cut it out a certain way where people are inside the 18-wheelers and they're throwing out beads but teddy bears and no sushi rolls though. But the traditional thing behind the beads is you gotta show a little to get a little. So that's why you see a lot of naked bodies running around or half naked bodies. They're doing that for beads.
Have you ever
the more you show, the bigger the beads you get.
Have you ever rode on a float?
I have. It's an awesome experience. I mean, you almost feel like a superstar because everyone's waving to you, everyone's happy, and you know. And I don't know if it's because they've been drinking all day, and that might have something to do with it.
Might have some influence.
Everything is in such a well. They're all drinking Hurricanes, which is the New Orleans staple drink. You know, it's kind of like a fruity cocktail almost in a way. Passion fruit is the main thing, but you're out there in 90 degree. Well, it's not 90 degrees now, but Some Mardi Gras, traditionally, it's pretty warm out there, and they're just slamming these Hurricanes like they're water, and then all of a sudden everyone's passed out.
Well, we don't want to end this hour without talking about king cake. Let's explain. Can you explain what king cake is, first of all, and how this tradition got started?
Yeah, king cake to me is kind of like a giant cinnamon roll almost, and then it's just like a pretty much simple syrup icing that goes over it. if you know how to make a pound cake or any simple cakes, a king cake would be no problem for you to make at all. Mainly what separates king cake is the decoration, the decor, you know, the purples, the greens. These are all staple colors of Mardi Gras. Then you have the baby inside, you know, and there's some legends that say that if you find the baby, then you're going to have a baby, you know. But the real tradition is if normally what they would bring is the king cake to a business for good luck into the new year. And then whoever would find the baby would have to purchase the next king cake. So that's pretty much the thing. You find the baby. So almost you don't want to find the baby if you're a cheapo.
So should we just buy our king cakes, or is it
Off making your king cake. Unless you can find a local bakery that's making it from scratch. A lot of the grocery stores.
If
you know,
Gambino's isn't in our backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had much luck on finding king cakes around here. So, but like I said, if you're a baker, you'll have so much fun making it. You can get the kids in there to help you sprinkle the different colors on there. It's really a fun cake to make, and it can involve more than just you in the kitchen.
And there's a lot of variation and flavor variation now in king cakes.
Oh, there is. I mean, you can make the chocolate version. You can make apple version. You treat it no different than like a sponge cake almost, you know. And any one of those cakes, you can add in whatever flavor. Like in Wisconsin, you know, we love our tart Door County cherries. You know, you can definitely make a Door County cherry king cake. You know, I don't know if you can Google the recipe. I don't think it's out there, but it's just as simple as adding some Parade Door County cherries or whole Door County cherries with the juice. You know, use the juice instead of water.
That sounds so good.
Cherry flavor.
Wow.
I know, I never made it before, but I might have to now.
That's working for me. Where can we get an oven-safe baby for the cake?
Oh, that is a good question. Most people, when they get those babies, they order them online.
Okay.
And you can just buy and they'll come in like a bag of however many. I'm pretty sure you can't go into Walmart or Kohl's or anywhere in there and get that little baby. It's kind of the whole king cake thing is kind of segregated in the New Orleans area. So I'm pretty sure out there you might be able to find them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know out here in Wisconsin, your best bet is probably to order them.
Okay. And so let's say we're going to get in the kitchen today. What would you suggest that we try out in Cajun and Creole cuisine? What could be our entree today?
I would say try the jambalaya out, you know, and I learned a thing too as well. And a lot of people are anti-box, you know, they think of box as the can. And I don't think that, you know, especially when it comes to rice, because Zatarain's makes a very good blend of rices. And what I've done a couple of times to switch it up a little bit is I've actually got the Zatarain's wild rice mix. So you're going to make a chicken and sausage wild rice jambalaya. Make the wild rice separate according to the box. It's going to take you 20 something minutes. So this is no instant rice. This is regular rice. They just season it for you. And then get your sausage and all your peppers and stuff and saute it up separate and then mix it all together. And what I would do as soon as you make the rice, put it on a sheet pan, cool it off right away, because the worst thing you can do is overcook the rice.
Mm-hmm.
And then once all your mix is ready, then you can mix it all together. And then when you want to warm it up for your guests, just put it in a nice big casserole dish with aluminum foil or a cover over it so it steams it and doesn't bake it.
Well, Ace,
but I would say that would be the quickest, funnest thing to do.
You have inspired us. Thank you so much for spending
time with us. Thank you for having me.
Happy
Pleasure
New Year.
Same to you.
Ace Champion is a private chef and a TV cooking show host based in Green Bay by way of Louisiana. His cooking show is called Cook Like a Champion. Those recipes for jambalaya sushi roll and chocolate bread pudding with Irish whiskey butterscotch cream sauce, those can be found on the morning show page. Go to WPR.org, find the morning show. We'll have those recipes there for you. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and this is the Ideas Network. Happy New Year.